Bread Film Radio. I'm Matt Micucci from the 60th Cork Film Festival, and I'm very pleased to be joined by filmmaker Paddy Hayes, who just presented his film Name Your Poison here at the festival. So thanks very much for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
So it's a great documentary. I was very entertaining, and I was just wondering whether you would like to introduce our listeners to the actual story of the film.
Jochen Durish is the Irish title, Name Your Poison is the English title. It's about an Irish immigrant to New York in 1930s, Depression era New York. He was a bum, a down and out, and a bunch of unscrupulous Italians and Jews took a life insurance policy on him and tried to kill him. They tried to kill him with drink, which is his favourite imbibement, if that's a word. So he just kept drinking and drinking, and they couldn't kill him.
Well, it's an incredible story. But what I'm interested in, and I guess it's the obligatory follow-up question to the first question, is where did you first hear about it?
I first heard about it. There's a British programme called QI, presented by Stephen Fry, and there's a small insert of about 2 minutes on that show, and I was watching TV with my wife, and the penny dropped, and I thought, maybe, just maybe, we'll get a doc out of this. So we went digging further into the story, and the story intrigued me. I mean, it's even Rasputin. Do you remember the Boney M song? Rasputin.
Love. First part of that song.
always captures the imagination. You know, that edge between life and death, and somebody cheating that, and why they would cheat it. And this guy was obviously a drunkard. You know what I mean? Yeah. That film, Leaving Las Vegas. The Nicolas Cage character, he just wanted to die, and maybe there's an element of this with this guy. He just had given up on life, but yet his why humanity clings on to that last spark of life and refuses to give up, even in the case of somebody who probably wanted to die.
Tell me, was it easy to research this story?
We are very lucky in that the guys who eventually succeeded in killing him, this Mike Malloy character, they succeeded in killing him, were stupid enough to kill him by gassing him. Gas is very stable, carbon monoxide is very stable in your blood system, and even so they went to collect the insurance money. I'm giving away all the plot, doesn't matter. They went to collect the insurance money, and the insurance firm asked for the body to be exhumed, and the blood was very red, or the skin colour rather was very red, which would indicate poisoning. And it started an investigation, and that investigation had them convicted. So all the document was in the court case, and if they weren't caught, this guy would have died in obscurity, which is also fascinating because part of the documentary looks into the immigrants who fall off the back of the herd, especially in terms of Irish immigration. We like to think that the Irish circle the wagons around our own, but that's probably bullshit, certainly in 1930s New York, when things were really hard. You could easily fall off the back of the herd and be preyed upon by murderers.
Yeah, but that's it, because you're also kind of interested in the cultural background of the story, not just the unusual, bizarre story of this of Malloy.
Yeah, it's a kind of a vehicle, and it's funny. You will hear a kind of a rags-to-rag story amongst British Irish immigrants. You don't hear it that often from America. You hear docs about the Kennedys, you'll hear docs about Henry Ford, you'll hear docs about Irish America. It's all the success stories. So I think what was quite unique, and when we screened this in America, what was quite unique about this is it really resonated with people, because we all know somebody who is too ashamed of their status, their drunkenness, to go home.
Yeah.
And you can be certain the tragedy is a lot of these people, like Malloy, if he had just, I was going to say pick up the phone, I don't know if you can get phones that easy, pick up a telegram in 1930s New York, somebody here would have bailed him out. But there's the shame, and there's also when you're taken away from your home, like rural Donegal to New York, it must, you need to have a certain resilience in your soul to withstand that, and maybe he just didn't have the strength of character. He had physical strength, this guy, because they couldn't kill him. They left him out to die of exposure overnight. They ran him over in a car a couple of times.
Yeah,
and he survived. In fact, we only ran him over once in the dock, but actually they ran him over 3 times in actual fact.
over three times. What a man.
Yeah, what a man.
Let's talk about actually how you took this story to the screen. And one of the things that you, one of the techniques that you employ in it is recreations. And I'd like to maybe ask you to tell us a little bit about this process.
It needed, because of the lack of contemporary footage, we needed to reconstruct it. And we're so familiar with the Italian mafia movies that there's so many reference points for these reconstructions. It actually made it very easy to make it credible. Even though it was all shot in Galway, all the actors were from Mayo, Galway. But we're so familiar with those accents and playing those accents that it was quite easy to pull off. In terms of lighting, it was all very single source lighting, very simple lighting. Interior speakeasy. It was actually a delightful little story because it's very contained, you know. All the action happened in the speakeasy. So reconstructing, what's fun about that is you can have your tongue slightly in your cheek, you know, in telling the story. And there's an Irish phrase, idir vagus darida, between seriousness and joking. And it enables you to reconstruct all these attempts on his life in a slightly tongue-in-cheek way. Even though it's a serious, sad, black story, there's a lot of black humour in it, and the way we reconstructed it was always playing to that gallery, if you like.
Yeah, and you mentioned the style too, and I think one of the reasons why the film is so exciting and energetic is because you kind of reference the style of these Italian mafia movies, you know, a bit tongue-in-cheek, so that's kind of, that was an influence as well. And
it was, for sure. So there's 1930s in there, and also we're just so bombarded by American culture. There's all those crash zooms from the 1970s who have nothing to do with the story, but they're great fun to do.
Yeah, and the music too, the choice of music. That's actually delightful. It just adds to the fun of the film. But then there's also the contributions from experts, and I was wondering how you came across the different people that are actually providing you with the contributions and talking about the case.
You research documentaries, you research people who have spoken on similar cases before. You use your own database of people who are just good speakers. Do you know what I mean? It's often a merry dance when you're choosing somebody to speak between somebody who is an expert but a bore, and then somebody who is inexpert but a great talker.
Yeah.
And you know, there's two of there's two people on the cutting room floor who were experts but bores.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And we also had somebody who was inexpert and a bore.
You can never start to find people that are experts and not bores. And then there's the Molloy, who is the narrator, I guess, the driving figure in the film, the former Gaelic football player.
Anthony Molloy, yeah. What I find interesting about him is he was on top of the world. He was the champion, Gaelic football champion of Ireland. He played in front of 80,000 people in Croke Park, lifted the cup. He was the captain of Donegal. They won it for the very first time in the history of the sport. And for somebody to be at the pinnacle of celebration and, I guess, happiness, to then plummet into alcoholism is pretty fascinating. So it's Anthony is the vehicle for bringing us to New York and telling the story. And what's interesting about Anthony's story is the story resonates with him, and he's great empathy with this Molloy character. They just happen to have the same name. There's no actual connection that we could establish, even though we tried to do that. But actually, that was irrelevant in the heel of the reel. So Anthony, the story was very poignant for him because he himself had fallen off the back of that drinking wagon.
Yeah, there's a personal connection there to kind of go along with the main story itself. Another question that is just natural to ask, especially because our listeners would be from kind of all over the world, is the mixture of Irish language and English language. And so I just wanted to know what the choice behind that was.
There was no choice. I primarily work in the Irish language. It is a language that could be seen as dying, but I think with the world becoming so homogenized and so obliterated by the English language, I think a time will come in 50, 100 years' time when people will say, okay, let's not lose this really rich cultural language. And as long as we can keep it alive between now and then in some form, it'll flourish.
Yeah.
When there's a Starbucks in every single corner of every single street in every single city, when we've been so culturally wiped out, I think Gaelic culture, and I'm not being supremacist or anything about it, it's not better than English, but it has a deeper value, I think, and if we can make films and documentaries in this language to preserve it, I think it's a very good idea.
Yeah, especially good documentaries like yours, Name Your Poison. Final question, just very quickly, what are the future plans for the film?
Feature plans of the film, it goes out on Irish TV on Christmas Day, or Stephen's Day possibly, on TG Cahir, and it's in the London Irish Film Festival next weekend, and who knows where it'll go from there. It'll be in Seattle, it'll be in Toronto. It's getting an outing, which is great, you know.
Great, fantastic. Thank you very much for joining us and talking to us about it.
Pleasure.
Thanks a lot. This is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.